So, hey, everyone. We just got back from the Maker Faire in, they're hosting it in Dearborn, Michigan at the Henry Ford Museum and Greenfield Village. So we saw a lot of interesting stuff. A lot of interesting people, too, Eric.
Yeah, you get the whole culture from walking around for a bunch of engineers to people out on the fringe.
Exactly. This isn't like a lot of amazing stuff, but it's not like the cool kids, you know, not like some rock band. But it's still amazing what some of the people are doing.
Well, it's sort of like Lollapalooza.
Is it?
Yes. You've never been to Lollapalooza? Well, that would not shock me at all.
Ben, have you been to Lollapalooza?
Oh, many times, of course.
He's being sarcastic. Dripping with sarcasm.
So we're coming to you live from the Mobile Rowab Studios, not in an MKT.
Something maybe a little bit nicer. Ben managed to score a gorgeous white Audi S5 for the weekend. No speaking of English.
That's right.
But it costs about the same amount of money as an MKT.
Yeah, comparable. But, God, this is a stunning car. That's unfortunately not...
I love the back seat. It's so ergonomically...
Incorrect.
Yes.
It's built for a toddler. But, we're not here to talk about the Audi. We're here to chat a little about a little wrap-up of the Maker Faire. So what did we see, guys? What, Eric, we'll start with you. What was the biggest thing you saw that caught your eye that you liked the most?
The thing I thought was coolest was where you could, they had sand-pressed forms that you could put your own design in, and then they would pour molten iron and then make a cast iron piece that you could take away. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Were they actually busting up the middle?
Were they actually doing that when you saw, or were they getting ready to...
They were getting ready to do that, but they showed there was someone working on the form and kind of, you know, making the design they wanted in the sand form they wanted to do. So what do they call it? Lost casting or something like that.
Right.
So I thought that was really cool. The other thing I thought was really cool is just looking at the Tardec people had a display here for the Army, and you got to see the three vehicles that are competing to replace the Hummer, so I thought that was kind of cool, too.
Yeah, definitely. And Ben, you really took a fancy to that open-source cola movement, didn't you? You sampled the guy's grape soda?
No, the lemon-lime, which is more like...
Disappointment in a glass.
It was like lemon-lime-infused water, you know?
It was flat.
And it was like, I mean, it was like bubbly when it came out, but just like foamy on top.
Ugh.
Yeah, I don't know. Travis had some, my brother, had some elaborate explanation. His CO2 feed is up too high or something, because he worked at Taco Bell, so now he knows everything about...
about the food service industry, yeah. So, it was pretty disappointing, and you wouldn't be willing to try
your own. That was pretty disappointing. You know what I really liked were the plastic printers.
Oh, that was awesome.
Those were really cool. Hand-built... printers that would print out. They took like, it looked like a roll of like plastic tubing, kind of, but I'm sure it wasn't a tube.
Imagine
just
wire, but of plastic.
Yeah, exactly.
A spool of it.
And it would melt that down and then, sort of like an inkjet printer, create a prototype part.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's very cool.
Ten years ago, those were like $2 million pieces of machinery.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now you can buy one, the whole kit for like $800. They sold it ready to go, ready to be put together.
I mean,
or you
granted,
get the instructions if you want.
Granted, this is a rickety-looking thing.
It's made out of threaded rod and like plywood pieces. And
yeah, they had one of those, I think it was the same thing. They had almost like a five-axis CNC machine built like that, except they used like a Bosch router and like $90 or $100 off-the-shelf software. And it was a built on a rack that went, you know, left, right, up, down,
like a CNC
forward
machine,
and back.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which actually my dad built. My dad has built his own CNC machine much the same way, except his was built so the table moves.
Okay.
Mm.
And he's using software that isn't even, it's open source software.
Nice.
So you didn't have to pay for the software.
F-R-E-E free.
It's amazing what you can do for free, as long as you're willing to put your own ingenuity and elbow grease into it. And mm-hmm. I think that's what Maker Faire shows.
Definitely. There's a lot of robots on display. There, a couple guys made one look like a Nerf gun they mounted on top, but it would shoot.
That was pretty
rapid
fun.
Fire
it had like
people.
A webcam mounted on the front of it, so they could see where it was aiming and shoot at people.
Yep.
The one thing I was a little bit surprised at was I would think, especially because to me it was a big deal for Maker Faire to be in this area, because this is an area full of people who are very innovative, a lot of engineering background because of the automotive industry and all the suppliers. And I would have thought Ford had a display here, but I would have thought Chrysler, GM, and even some others would have had stuff here promoting young engineering.
Subaru was there.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, doing stuff to promote young engineering, and this is, because this...
Agreed.
If you're into the stuff at Maker Faire, these are, like, the people who could be your design, your mechanical engineers and electrical engineers and stuff of the future, and even just, like, designers. And that, granted, it's the first year, so you never know how things are going to come, and I think it's pretty well received, but when it comes back next year, that's what I'd really like to see, is the automotive industry, and not just the big three, but even a lot of the suppliers get more heavily involved and really promote, you know, hey, if you like this stuff, this is a really good career. And yes, I know we haven't been doing a lot of hiring. We've been doing more laying off. But, you know, if you're interested, we're interested in you. And these are the things that we're interested in going forward. So,
right. I mean, the auto industry has such a reputation of being this just old industry. You know, people don't think of it as high tech, but it really is very high tech.
Yeah, you go
and
into
it's
you
these
go in,
ingenuitive people that the auto industry could really use. So
go into any factory or any R&D facility of any supplier, and you, it's amazing how high tech a lot of this stuff is.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, the amount of equipment and time and work and effort and computing power it takes to build a car, a modern car.
Yep.
It's nuts. It's more than NASA has.
These days I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
So going back to Maker Faire, what were some of your guys' favorite automotive or transportation themed creations you saw moving around?
I really like the multi-seat bicycles. I guess you'd call them a bicycle. They're more of a
car. It was almost like a dinner table bicycle. You're all facing each other, and
six
there's
people or
one
something.
Person looking ahead and steering.
Yeah. Five or six people sitting in a ring, and they each have a set of pedals, and they just
pedal,
and it goes to the drives the common wheel, and then the car, the thing moves.
There were two other pedal-powered things that I saw that I kind of liked. One was, it was like a single-seat bicycle, but it had two wheels, and the wheels were about 9 feet tall.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
I don't know how you steer that thing.
I don't know. The other one was the sort of like four-wheel drive one that had the flames that shoot out the top that was supposed to scare away the rain clouds. And someone asked me about that, and I'm like, well, I don't know. But Michelle is out in Roswell, New Mexico, and she was talking about, when I was on the phone with her the other day, about how out there they have hail cannons, so that the ranchers shoot off these cannons that supposedly create enough of a sonic boom to move clouds to keep hail. So I'm like, well, you know, maybe, I don't know. But,
sounds like fiction to me.
But hey, it was cool, though.
That was cool.
I mean, Old Town Hokum.
Yeah. I had, let's see, what other transportation? They had like a weird like art car kind of thing that was...
Well, okay. they had the two cars. There was a 53 Plymouth, and then I forget the other one.
It was a 72 Chevy. Duster or something like that.
But they had like drizzle paint.
It was a Jackson
them.
Pollock inspired kind of art car, yeah.
Right.
So basically it took like a paint stir stick, dunked it in a can of paint, and just drizzled.
I'm sure
the colors
took
all over.
Like 3.5 hours.
At least. It's got to dry, Ben.
It wasn't the Andy Warhol BMW M1, but, you know, few things are.
Can't forget about the pièce de résistance, though. That fish Volvo.
Oh, the fish Volvo,
of course.
The
sashimi,
the sashimi Tabernacle Choir.
Exactly. Yep. And by the way, you'll find photos of all of this
and
some video. Thanks, Craig. Now I'm committed to doing video. On the roundaboutshow.com website, we'll have a gallery. And if you're listening to this on the website, you know, it's probably like right above where you're listening to this or below or something. But, so Eric and I and Craig all shot some pretty cool photos, and so, yeah, but that car was very cool. It was covered in, like, the Billy the Bass type novelty things that you'd get at Spencer Gifts. And they had...
The talking fish.
The talking fish. And they must have a talking lobster.
Dance and singing lobsters. And the guy who had 250 or something of them.
Is that right?
It was a lot. They were all synchronized and wired up so that they would sing and dance to music and all be synchronized.
It was pretty amusing. It was pretty amusing.
Yep. Got some video of that, so.
Yeah. Yeah. What else was there? There are lots of craft stuff, a lot of CNC machines. The swing set was cool.
That swing set was kind of neat.
I didn't get the purpose, though. Like, you could swing and then you just get rained on as you go underneath?
No, it was timed so you never got wet.
Oh, okay.
So, based on your swing, it would shut the water off so there was a hole in the water as you swung through. It was pretty clever.
It wasn't the Jeep waterfall display, but it was close.
Right.
What else was there?
The life-size mousetrap game was pretty cool. I didn't actually get to see...
Yeah, there's so many people gathered around and you couldn't tell, but...
But it looked cool. I mean, just the whole... I mean, when there wasn't the game, you could call it... When they weren't running the game, you could look at it, and it was pretty crazy to see how that was all set up. And they have a whole 53-foot tractor trailer to carry it in. That's how big it is.
So. Right.
Lots of interesting people, too. You know?
A lot of unique personalities.
Yep, little characters here.
But I think overall it was pretty cool. I think generally it was... I was thinking it was going to be bigger than what it was, and they had some stuff inside the museum, and I wish they would have had it laid out a little better,
mm-hmm.
or at least identified spots where you could go to see the stuff. But again, it's the first year, so a lot of times you don't know how it's going to come off. So, overall...
Yeah, I mean, it was very haphazard. You just kind of wandered around. I mean, I guess there's something to be said for that, too. Just, you know...
You get to see the museum, and you happen upon some stuff.
Right.
So, which...
But, yeah. No, it's cool, and I think it has a lot of potential for next year.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people here, so there's no reason it shouldn't come back.
Right.
It's a crush of people. Lots of folks here. Like you said, you couldn't even see the mousetrap display, because there's just... 5 or 6 people deep surrounding the thing and standing on other, like the power, some like transformer boxes or something were on this little grassy part, and people were standing on that trying to get a view of the mousetrap.
Yeah, I mean, did you see the line to ride the kitchen table bike?
Yeah, that was long.
Yeah. So I think it should be back next year, and it's great that it's in Detroit, and I think if, they... actually do what you're saying, Eric, and capitalize on the fact that, they've got all of these people in town that...
And even the other thing, too, sorry, I just thought about is the one thing I didn't see was, like, glass-blowing stuff here.
Yeah.
And being that we're...
Well, there were lots of knitting, people knitting.
But what I'm saying crochet. Is we're 50 miles from Toledo, which is still a major glass factory company. You know, Libby Owens Ford and a couple other companies down there make glass still. I think it would be neat to see them come up and do some stuff, too. Because that's... I mean, who doesn't like... I mean, one of the most popular displays inside the village always is the glass-blowing thing.
Absolutely.
Next to the horseshoe guy.
And so I think that would be cool. And I think that's very Maker Faire to me,
Yeah, definitely.
So next year when it's in town, we can probably quote the Beastie Boys and recommend that everybody check it out, right?
Yep, I agree. It was a great show, and looking at some of the people from local people on Twitter, you saw on the Twitter feed or checking in on Foursquare,
it
looks like a lot of people were here, and it would be great to see even more people next year.
Yeah, so again, swing by the website, roundaboutshow.com. We'll have a few videos posted, definitely a photo gallery. And, of course, this recording that you're listening to right now.
And then next week, we'll be back to the regular show, except I won't be there.
Oh, why, Eric?
I'm announcing it mildly.
Bullshit!
Thanks.
He may just say that.
Or what is the John Hodgman one? Bull roar.
Bull
roar! All right, we got it.